In the name of the one who was and is to come. Amen. I really don't like Whoppers. You know those little malted milk balls? They taste like chalk on my tongue. V8 juice makes me gag. I cannot stand valet parking. And whenever somebody blows in my face, I want to scream. But I'll tell you what I despise. I despise ISIS. I despise everything they stand for. And I invite you to despise them as well, not because they're pathological killers, which they are, but because they're really good at what they do. They are an apocalyptic Muslim sect that is bent on reestablishing the caliphate in Syria, and they believe that the great Rome, which is us, will fight them on the plains of Syria to reestablish the kingdom of God as they see it, and the caliphate is the first of that sign. I despise them because they are so good at what they do in the media. I despise them for their constant thirst for blood. But please, please, my friends, never mistake them as somebody who's just kind of got one nut loose. They clearly know what they are doing. They have a purpose and a plan, and they've done it better than anybody else, I think, in the history of the world when it comes to evil. Now, I tell you this not because I want us to sort of start wringing our hands, but I did wring my hands a little bit, because when Friday night I heard about Paris and I heard about what was going on there, I thought, first off, my first prayers were for the people and the 120 plus people who died at the hands of these evil people. Then my second thought was, oh my gosh, this ruins my stewardship sermon for my final talk. But I felt compelled, I still feel compelled, to offer the sacrifices of those people who had no choice in this as a heartbreak, as a longing for a reestablishment of the kingdom of God as we know it, that's good. Because if we don't engage this, we are going to miss out on an opportunity to be agents and disciples of Jesus. Now, I am not inviting you all to sort of think, here we're going to, we're all going to sort of take on ISIS because, you know what, they are a lot better at what they do than any of us. We have not been bred, we have not been trained, and to fight them head on would be a certain destruction. However, what I have come to know is that when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, he didn't just mean it as a nice thought, he meant it as a way of life. And he says, love your neighbor as you love God, and love your neighbor as yourself. It was a way of life that applied to enemies and friends alike. It applied to people all the way across the world and people right next door to us. Now, I'm inviting us to think about how we can practice loving our neighbor as ourself here in 77042 or whatever zip code you happen to be living in. And it's a way to not let ISIS win. Because if we let ISIS scare the bejesus out of us, and we pull back, and we protect ourselves, and we think the world is going to hell in a handbasket, we are going to miss out on a golden opportunity to practice love that suffocates hatred. When we as followers of Jesus practice love, we take the air out of the sails of hatred and fear. But that requires a certain degree of bravery on our part. And I want to invite you to think about how to be those brave people who loves your neighbor as yourself. And I want you to be like a giraffe. In the animal kingdom, the giraffe has the largest heart of any mammal, in the land mammals. And it has the longest neck, as you all know. If you've been to the zoo, you know that. And it has developed this ability in its digestive system to swallow like 6-inch thorns and not be hurt by them. So this giraffe, it's peeking up in the best places to get the leaves, and thorns are kind of going everywhere. It's swallowing nasty stuff, and it has the ability to take nourishment from these leaves even in the midst of the thorns. I think this is a good way for us to practice our discipleship with Jesus. Now, we are probably not ever going to meet a jihadist fighter. I pray not. But we are going to meet many, many, many people in our lives that are very different from us. And if we can practice love, without fear, we will change the world. We, in our own very small way, will suffocate ISIS because we refuse to shrink, we refuse to be afraid, and we refuse to let it dominate the way we think about the world. Now, this is not just true for the Middle East. ISIS is alive and well in Nigeria, and it's called Boko Haram. They all play from the same playbook. And if you ever hear somebody tell you that they're un-Islamic, they would take great offense. Because they have studied the scriptures assiduously, and they believe, as a cult of the millennium, that their actions are going to bring about the end of the world. And they see us as helping them do that. So I'm inviting us to be fearless, to be lovely in the way we treat other people, and we will win over this because, you know, Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail over the church, and especially over those who choose to love radically. So the giraffe model is really great. It's hard to practice because what I prefer to do is to either be a jackal or an ostrich. See, when I get afraid, I want to go for the blood. I want to go for the jugular. And I don't just want to go for the jugular. I just want to do like jackals do, right? Have you ever seen a jackal like on the nature show? They find their prey and they start screaming at their friends. Their friends all pile on and that carcass is dead, pulled down to rubble within a few minutes. That's maybe fine for jackals and their feeding behaviors, but I do not believe that as human beings that that's what Jesus thinks is our highest and our best way to be in the world. See, jackals, when they get afraid, they go on the attack and they pull everybody else along with them. When you do that, you shrink yourself. When you do that, you become less of the person that God has called you to be, but oh, it is so tempting. I would love to be the first guy in line with Al-Zakari and to punch him straight in the face. I'm the first guy who would love to live like a jackal. But I know that our Lord has called us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And he says not just our neighbors, but those who are actively opposed to us, those who are our enemies. Now, the ostrich is my other preferred method of dealing with the world's tribulations, as that's to stick my head straight in the sand. There's nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. And I pull my head in the sand and I think, well, maybe if I just hold my breath long enough, this whole mess will just sort of blow over as some sort of weird, crazy thing. Now, weird, crazy things blow by. The shooter in Colorado, that was weird and crazy. But it certainly was not this. It certainly wasn't a calculated attempt to usher in the millennium. So what we, my friends, are called to do is to love all the people in our lives. Now, I have a Pakistani Muslim accountant, and I pray for his daughters and his wife and their success pretty regularly. I won't say every day, but I pray for them often. I have grown to love that family, and I have grown to spend time with that family, and I feel like in my own small way, I am fighting the jihadists by loving my Pakistani accountant with all my heart, with all my mind, and with all my soul. I also have a Saudi Arabian woman who's my pharmacist who wears hijab when she's at work. And I was, you know, being the dumb lummox that I am, I walked up to her the first time, and I was just so glad that she talked to me, and I was like having a great conversation with her. And I said, "I'm Todd." Well, she reluctantly took my hand, but as I've learned, that's probably not the best thing in the world to do with a woman who's in hijab, who's your pharmacist, on Voss in San Felipe. But I have grown to care for her in my own small way, and I try to practice love for her because she is the heart of my neighbor. Now, this requires, I think, a great deal of effort on our parts because it is so easy to kind of discount, disregard, disembody the people around us. It's kind of the way our world is built, isn't it? We can look on TV, or we can look on our phones, or we can look down the street, and we can go, "Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, the world's falling apart." But what we're called to do is, instead of taking caricatures of people, because that's what ISIS does, right? It sees the West, and it goes, infidels. They should be destroyed. I don't want to have anything to hear anything about them. I read this lovely article that said that the Paris attacks were a sign that maybe the West has got the upper hand for once. Because they're sending teenagers to do this. They are sending people out of desperation to sort of create a bridge or a wall of fear where we will see them as other and we'll see ourselves as other and never the two shall meet. I pray that's true. I pray that is true for all of our sakes. Because if you want to fight ISIS, do not let that wall of fear implode into your wall off your heart. You are called to, as a follower of Jesus, to love your neighbor as yourself. It's not like a suggestion, right? It's not like love those people who are lovely or love those people who you choose to love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Mark 13, the gospel we've read today, goes into this great long story about the tribulation. There'll be wars and rumors of wars, but do you know what the punchline of Mark 13 is? I make sure I got it right because I sometimes forget. The punchline of Mark 13 at the very end is, and what I say to you all is watch. He doesn't say, get really mad, take up arms, destroy, dissociate, or pull away from those who are different from us. He says, in the midst of all this nastiness that's going on, I want you to kind of look around. I want you to be awake. I want you to be available to the world as it is before you. And person by person, individual by individual, we are going to love this world into a better place. It's what we're called to do. I mean, I don't think there's any exception to this. Now, it's easy to be an ostrich or a jackal, but can you find a way to be a giraffe? Can you find a way to stick your neck out? Probably it's going to get whacked, or maybe even cut off. Find a way to absorb the hurts and the barbs that come with relating to people different from yourself. And maybe let your heart stay as big as it started when you were young. Because I think that's what we're called to do as disciples. And I want to leave you with a prayer. And then, since this is still stewardship season, a kind of a stewardship injunction, but maybe a little bit different from what you're used to. Romans 14, verse 10 says, why do you despise your brother and sister? We shall all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue give praise to God. So each of us shall give an account of themselves to God. I don't really care if you screw up in your life, because you're going to do it anyway. But I do care, and as your pastor, I invite you to live boldly with your life, to love and to fail, to reach out and to get slapped, to care for people who don't care about you, because that's what we're called to do as disciples. So in stewardship season, we say, you know, you'll hear this 100 times from me and other preachers, you know, give of your time, your talent, and your money, and those all help us to keep our ship afloat and do the ministry that God has called to us. But as I think about Paris, as I think about ISIS, and as I think about the world that seems to be coming apart at the seams, I pray that you add to that stewardship list to give of your heart, to give of your emotions, to give to those who may not be able to receive it, but you give nonetheless, because Jesus has called us to. Amen.